welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, my friends. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. And welcome to what some people I know call hurricane season. Now, I don't necessarily have this problem personally because I don't have a big, huge family, but I do have friends that refer to the week before Thanksgiving to the day after New Year's as hurricane season, where they are going to get swept up in conflict and conversations and family and having to stay quiet when they want to speak and losing their temper when they want to stay quiet. And, you know, it's all possible. It's all possible. So if this is hurricane season for you, I bring you deep connection and love. And I know that today's episode is going to help you because today we're going to replay an episode originally recorded just about a year ago. It was actually right after hurricane season last year. And it's about how to talk to people about TMS, how to talk to your family, how to talk to your friends, your colleagues, your children, your partners, and also how to talk to yourself and how to be with the right self-talk and the right mindset in order to be in a good space about communicating this journey and really understanding how to show up calmly and confidently, which is the best posture for healing. So I figured in the midst of this busy time, this would be a really great reminder as we roll into the Thanksgiving holiday. When this podcast airs, Thanksgiving will be just about a week away. And I think that it's time to, you know, gear up because you want to show up as your best self. You don't want to show up defensively. You don't want to show up lightening this and making it seem like it's less important to you than it is. And I think it's just sometimes helpful to have a bit of a preparation, a bit of a script that helps you get deeper into your authenticity. Because I sometimes think, and I guess I speak for myself, my authentic voice can get lost in my fear and my anxiety and my nervousness when I'm looking to communicate something that's important to me. And so sometimes having a little guidance around that can be very helpful. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about that. I re-listened to it, and I think it still remains a really strong message. And so I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it helps you out a little bit, whether just with your own mindset or in an actual conversation you are gearing up to have at your holiday dinner or get-together or what have you. So in the meantime, I just want to remind you that the first Cure for Chronic Pain membership community, my first group, my first private group that I'm starting is still open for enrollment. There are very few spots left, but when this podcast airs, there will probably be a handful of spots left. So if you would like to join our first 6-month membership community, it's going to include one afternoon a month where we spend together on Zoom, which will be recorded in case you can't make it, and it will be on a weekend. I'm just answering some frequently asked questions right here. And a private community that will just be the 100 of us, 99 of you and me, that we will be communicating. I will be putting original content up. I will be answering your questions and just being with you in a really casual way. And in that effort, I know that I will get to know you over the 6 months and you will really get to know each other. And we're gonna create something that is really cohesive and I hope really supportive. So if you want to be in our first group, please email me at njsachs@gmail.com and put membership in the subject line and I will put you on the wait list. If you don't get into the first group, which is starting on January 1st, I will put you on the wait list for our second group that will start 6 months after that. But if you want to get into the first group, now is the time. And just so you know, we will be doing on December 1st, enrollment will open and we will spend the month of December getting to know each other. In January, we are going to start our work in earnest, but you don't have to sign on until January. Okay. I answered all the questions that people have been asking me. So go over to my Gmail and send me an email if you would like to be part of that. If you are looking for more of a self-paced situation, just go over to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. I have my online courses, retreat recordings, and many, many free resources. All right, my loves, well, enjoy this talk about how to share TMS with your friends, family, and the best mindset for yourself. And I will see you next time. So wherever you're at this morning, if you have a deep desire for normal or a deep desire to be out of pain or for your grief to lessen or for your fear to chill or for your anxiety to just sit down, I'm with you because we're human and we have desires for things. And so the best advice I can give you from my experience is be with the desire because it's only fair. Be with the joy of the moment when you're getting what you want. And then just be open to things shifting when you're not getting what you want. Transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. And it will always, always be that way. And it is a lifelong journey for this person before you to accept that. But more and more I am. And it does really, really improve my experience of being alive. So I hope that you can join me in that. So anyway, hello. I hope today is a good day. I am going to talk today about a subject that I get written to about constantly, which is sort of encapsulated in the following sentence. Nicole, I have walked this walk for a very long while, meaning I've walked my life's walk, not necessarily my work's walk. I have walked this journey for a minute and a half, and I have spent tons of different money, and I have tried all these different modalities, and I have believed all these different things were going to help me, whether it was a medication or a surgery or a treatment or even a holistic or alternative treatment. And I really am exhausted, and I'm really unsure of what to believe and what to believe in, but I am here doing your work, seeing improvements, or at the very least being inspired by what I see on your podcast as other people's improvements. And I'm actually really starting to believe. I'm starting / am believing that this is the path out for me, which if you are there, I'm so happy for you. I'm just so happy for you because it is. If you can bring your nervous system into alignment, into regulation, and believe that this is going to work for you because I know it transforms, and then do the work you need to transform with patience and kindness, you are on the road to a life that you couldn't possibly yet imagine. And I hear from people every day that are accomplishing that. So you are one of those people that this is possible for. So anyway, people, you know, come to me and say this, and then they say, but I'm having a huge roadblock, which is how do I now, after all the medicines, the surgeries, the procedures, the doctors, the specialists, the traveling for different specialists, how can I talk to my friends and my family and the world at large about the fact that I'm doing mind-body medicine now, that I believe in TMS, that I read a book by Dr. Sarno, or I read your book, Nicole, or I did some sort of a program, or, you know, whatever. How can I talk to these people? Because first of all, it feels like I am saying something light. It feels like I'm saying, no, I'm going to use the power of my mind to cure my body, which, you know, all of us who have been here for a while know that that's actually not true. It's not, we're not using the power of the mind in that kind of esoteric way. We are harnessing brain science, which is incredibly scientific and calculated. It is not fluffy therapy talk, in order to do the right steps to bring the nervous system from sustained chronic fight or flight into rest and repair, also known as rest and digest, which allows all of our systems to come into alignment, which allows the brain and the nervous system to stop firing pain signals, sending inflammation, sending different symptoms and syndromes and conditions and diagnoses to different parts of your body. In other words, We are doing the work to unearth our repressed emotions, to prove to our nervous system that feeling our feelings will not kill us, will not put us in mortal danger. And then when the system calms down and the nervous system regulates, we become well, like really well, like full of energy. The chronic fatigue falls away. So does the fibromyalgia. So does the irritable bowel. So does the back, neck, hip, shoulder, knee, elbow, hand pain, the carpal tunnel, the skin disorders, the migraine disorders. Like, this is what we are doing here. Okay. So the problem isn't with the person doing the work. The problem is the person doing the work is really struggling on how to communicate this to their partners, to their children, to their parents, to their loved ones, to their colleagues, to everyone who says, "Oh, Jane, wait, stop lifting that. I thought you have a bad back. Did the surgery do the trick?" You know, and so before I talk about what we're going to do about this, I want to talk about why I think this is such a challenge. And I want to kind of just bring connection to you on what this feels like. So maybe you're a person who's not dealing with this, and this is an interesting conversation. Maybe you are. But I was listening to a talk recently by Ram Dass, and he was talking about the spiritual journey. So he was equating our challenge here today that we're talking about with people who, let's say, were not very spiritual, not very seeking, and all of a sudden find themselves on a spiritual journey and need to and want to share and explain and sometimes just share their joy about it with people who might not see them as someone who is on a spiritual journey or might not agree with them or might be skeptics. And so he tells the story that I feel like is so perfect for this journey with TMS and with mind-body medicine. And because here's the thing, in order for you to heal most readily, you do need to embrace this 100%. I'm not saying you can't heal if you don't, but it's a much slower road because your nervous system only has the input from your conscious mind to determine whether or not you're safe. And so if you don't buy into this, if you don't say that this can help you, but you're going to try to do the work anyway, I just think that your nervous system is constantly on that hair trigger of like, you're not safe. You can't be trusted. You don't really believe in this. So we're just going to send the pain signals because the pain signals and the inflammation and all the things will keep you small and safe and out of danger. Out of danger in a world full of triggers, full of harm, full of people that have traumatized you, full of your own reliving of your complex PTSD and your trauma responses. So the nervous system deems those triggers without the proper perspective as too unsafe to put you out there. And that's why a migraine does the trick, puts you right into bed. Irritable bowel does the trick. You can't go too far without getting to a bathroom. You know, you've heard me say this 100 million times. So unless we believe, it's very hard to get this show on the road in the really appropriate way. So when you start believing and you want to talk about it with other people, it can be a challenge. And that's why I said I get a lot of messages about how do I do this. So first, let's bring some connection through this interesting metaphor, this story, this analogy that I love that Ram Dass shares. So he said, picture this. You're walking down the stairs, long, long, long flight of stairs because you're going to the subway or the train or whatever, you know, a subway or an underground train would be called in your area of the world. And he said, and I want you to picture it like a really long staircase. And I've been to a lot of different cities, and I'm pretty sure New York City for like certain express trains is the longest stairs I've ever been down. But I also think London has really long ones, maybe Boston. So anyway, I'm not 100% sure, but I do know that if you want to picture this as properly to get the bang for the buck for this story, picture a very, very long staircase. So the story goes that you know that 5 o'clock is the evening rush. And you know that if you just get there a little bit before 5 o'clock, you can maybe beat the huge crowds that are going to be pouring down the staircase. So you decide you're going to go and catch your train at 4:45. So you're walking down the stairs, the long stairs, and you know, it's pretty chill. You're on your way down. You get all the way to the bottom of the stairs, and now you're on the train platform, and you see a sign. And the sign says, "This side of the station is closed. Catch the train across the street at the other side." Now, first, you're annoyed, because obviously that's super annoying. Second of all, if you're me, you're going to make sure that that sign is not an old sign. Like, you're going to look around. You're going to see if there's any way to get around the inconvenience or the drama of what you don't want to do. Fine. So you really look around and you really take stock of the situation, and you're certain. The train platform is empty and nobody's around, and it doesn't look like any trains are coming. And there's a big sign that seems very official that says, "This platform is closed." So now you look up, and by now, because you were going to walk down the stairs at 4:45, the 5 o'clock rush has begun. And as you start walking back up the stairs, by the time you get maybe 10 or 12 stairs up, you are met with an onslaught of people coming down the stairs. Now, these people are coming to catch the train, same as you, with the certainty that the train platform will be open, same as you, on your way down. But now you're on your way up, fighting the norm, fighting the groupthink, fighting the crowd on your way upstairs for a train that is perceived to be leaving from that station, that's not going to go. So as you're on your way up, maybe you catch the eye of a person and you say, "Hey, there's a sign down there. That platform is closed." And they kind of look at you and they look down and they look at all the other people in the greater collective. They look at all the other people walking down the stairs, and one of three things is going to happen. They're going to ignore you and keep walking down the stairs because they're too embroiled in the common choices of the society, which is, we're all going down. This is what we do, and this is what we expect, and this is what everybody else is doing. So it's either going to be that, or they're going to pause and they're going to listen to you and they're going to consider what you're saying because you sound confident. You saw a sign that said it was closed, but see, they haven't seen the sign. Only you saw the sign, and you're sounding pretty confident. So they may pause, but they may still need to go all the way to the bottom to prove to themselves they have to see the sign in order for them to be convinced to turn around and inconvenience themselves in such a way. And once in a while, you're going to see a person on your way back up, fighting your way back up against the grain, and you're going to say, "Listen, man, it is closed down there. You're going to get to the bottom. You're going to get all the way to the bottom, and you're just going to have to turn around and come back up. Just letting you know, I saw the sign." And there will be people on your journey that say, "Oh, thank you for saving me all of that hard work and that exhaustion and that effort and whatever, you know, that difficult time. I'm turning right around. I'm coming with you." And there are going to be all three of those scenarios. But here's the thing. It still comes down to you. It still comes down to you deciding what's right for you. And the reason I think this is such a great metaphor, the story, is that, first of all, having compassion for every person in the situation. I have compassion for the me in this scenario that has gone down, that has seen with my own eyes that something is never going to work. And I have compassion for myself fighting my way now against the crowd up the stairs because I know there's no use begging and pleading for reality to be different. That station stop is closed. I also have empathy for the person that completely ignores my plea and is like, "Whatever. I know what the common thinking is. We go down and we get on the train. I'm going. Step away." I also have empathy and compassion for the person who pauses and really kind of wants to believe me because they know that it would be easier and it probably would save them a lot of hassle, but they need to see it for themselves. They need to see the sign for themselves. They are not going to be capable of taking my word for it. And then I have compassion for the risk that it takes for that person to say, "I'm looking into your eyes and I'm seeing that you seem sure. I'm going to trust you." And so, you know, let's talk about what I'm really talking about, which is you are a person that has grown up likely in some version of the Western medical model. And that doesn't really mean you have to live in the West. It just means that, you know, to some extent you believe that when your body is hurting or inflamed or uncomfortable or reacting or responding in a way that's really undesirable to you, that the problem, you've been taught that the problem is in your body, right? If you have a rash, you have to put a cream on it or take a pill. If you have, or eat something different, or, you know, anything that alters the physicality of your body. If you have something like I have, which is an abnormality of my spine, you know, it's abnormal. It's not normal. You have to get a surgery to change it. If you have a bulging disc, you've been taught that's not normal. You know, I've learned in my over 20 years of doing this work, it is absolutely normal to have a bulging disc. Bulging discs do not cause pain, categorically. I know this because I have watched thousands. I mean, I don't even know how many thousands of people get unnecessary surgeries and or not get surgery and then do this work, and all of a sudden they have zero pain, even though their bulging discs look exactly the same on MRI. Zero pain. Full life. Triathletes. Jumping out of airplanes. Whatever. So I'm just saying, you know, we have been taught to walk down the long staircase with the crowd because that makes us comfortable. That makes us feel safe. I mean, there's so many reasons why we are apt to believe the groupthink. And I have compassion for every single person on this journey. I was that person for years, totally caught up, totally going with the crowd. So I get it. And, you know, I also have compassion, and we have to talk about the fact that people oftentimes, talking to other people about this, some people aren't able to turn around and go back up the staircase until they've seen something for themselves. Now, that doesn't mean they have to see it in themselves, but they might have to see it for themselves, which means that there's every person in your life is not going to be a person with any sort of chronic condition or someone who is feeling like they have the necessity to do this work. So they might not have the capacity to see it in themselves because they don't need it at this moment, even though I think every human being needs it because they want to live a fuller, richer, more connected life. But that's an aside today. But so not every person can see it in themselves, but they can see it for themselves because they can see it through you. So the first piece of advice I have when you're trying to present this to people and you feel resistance from them, you don't need them to believe you. You can say, listen, I believe this. Calm confidence is the best freaking way to communicate with people. I don't need you to believe this. I believe this because I'm watching it happen for other people, and I am seeing little glimpses of it in myself. So, mom, honey, my love, my kid, my friend, my coworker, you know, so Ben, so Mary, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do this work with belief and patience and kindness for myself. It feels revolutionary to me. I'm doing it. And we'll see what happens. And all of a sudden, you, the guy who couldn't get out of bed, or the guy who was always like, no, go without me, I have that bad back, or the girl who was like, oh, no, I never eat spicy food because, oh, my IBS, you know, whatever person you are, all of a sudden you're at dinner with the crowd, with the group, with your gang, and you love, you know, spicy General Tso's chicken or Indian food or whatever, but you haven't had it in a year because they all know you're that person with the problem. And you order it and they go, oh, what are you doing? Isn't that going to make you so sick? And you go, no. Oh my God. I had no idea that not every problem in the body is altered by changing the physical body. I realized that it was brain science behind my IBS, that it was signals being sent by my brain and my nervous system because of my deep repressed emotions that I wasn't even knowing I had to feel. They were putting me in a state of fight or flight. Or if you want to even make it a little bit easier for them to swallow with the food reference, I didn't realize that it was my stress that was exacerbating my mind-body system. It was causing my nervous system to be on such a hair trigger, you know, what, however you want to describe it. But I did this really methodical work. So it's not like you're just saying I was stressed out and now I'm better and I can do these crazy things that I couldn't do any before, because then, of course, that sends the message of the pain was in my head, which we all know it is most decidedly not. In your head, it is capital R real. So it's more about explaining, I did real work. I did work. The way that meditation can change your neural pathways, I changed my neural pathways. I changed the functioning of my entire body that is ruled absolutely by my brain and my nervous system. Nobody doubts that. By doing this work and look, oh, I eat anything I want now. So now when you're that person, which by the way, that person exists by the millions, that I have witnessed and connected to and seen myself and my colleagues around the world. When you're that person, the people that you're influencing aren't seeing it in themselves maybe, but they are seeing it for themselves. They're going to go home and say to their partner, my God, I was at dinner with Allison. She doesn't have to skip spicy foods anymore. This is that girl who was down to eating four foods. She ate boiled chicken and rice for a year. She eats anything she wants now. Isn't that wild, right? And she says it's the same way that her best friend's back pain was being triggered and her mom's chronic migraines, and they're doing this work and they're gone, right? So now your partner is like, damn, that's interesting. Now, that person may or may not want to pick that up at that point, but all I'm saying is the only thing we can do is accurately and confidently and calmly represent ourselves. We are the only thing that we really know. And the best way to describe this to people who might not understand is to be the change. You know, there's that beautiful Gandhi quote, something along the lines of, we must be the change we wish to see in the world. And like, that's the way to change the world. I mean, that's truthfully, if you're a fan of this podcast, the only thing I'm really doing here. I'm just being the change. And then I'm inviting other people on the podcast who are being the change. And here we are. We're just sitting here. We're not coming into your house and saying, you know, do this, do that. We're just sitting here. This work is work of attraction, not promotion. If you try to promote it, if you try to walk over to people and be like, I know your problem, or hand them a book, you know, it's just really, it kicks up their defenses. It kicks up their, I don't want to be told what to do-ness. And that is a big-ness in our culture. You know, nobody wants to be told what to do. You know, it also, first of all, it kicks up fear because it kicks up our perception of control being shaken. And it also kicks up, you know, I don't want somebody else to have the answers when I don't have the answers. There's so many triggers in being told what to do. And so really, the most effective way to communicate this with people is twofold. One, to have super compassion for what kind of person they are on the stairs going down to the subway. You know, what mindset might they be in? Where might their fear be driving the bus? Where might their skepticism and their past experiences of being disappointed by the world at large? You don't know that. So having compassion for anyone, wherever they are in the journey. And then the second is showing up with clear, calm confidence because you know who you are. The best way to ever get people to understand what's best potentially for them, if that's your goal here, is to live the shining light of what's best for you. You know, it's interesting because I'm having this thing with one of my kids right now where I feel like it's not that they're being outwardly unappreciative. They're not being bratty, but they're just, it seems like every good thing that comes into their life, they're like, yeah, check, next. And it's a bit of a depressive stance. You know, it's teenagers and I'm not overly concerned about it. But I was talking to a colleague the other day, someone I trust really deeply. And he said to me, Nicole, you can't tell a teenager to be more appreciative. I mean, that's the quickest route to a slam door in your face, especially if they're really not doing anything wrong. But what you can do is just appreciate your life. And it was such a beautiful conversation. I have tears in my eyes as I'm saying it because it's really a beautiful concept. You know, he said to me, Nicole, do you appreciate the bounty in your life? And like, I literally, my hand just sprung to my heart and I said, yes. Oh my God, yes. I walk around my house, guys. I shit you not. I literally walk around my house. And I've spent a lot of time in the past 6 months because I went through a divorce and it was really painful. And so I've spent the last 6 months of my life really, maybe 3 months, changing my house into a space that feels safe and beautiful for me. And so I will spend like long stretches of time when I have it, just sitting or standing in different rooms of my house and appreciating how peaceful it feels in here and how much I love it. And like, I'm not living in some sort of dream situation by any means. I live in a townhouse in Southern Delaware. Nothing's wrong with a townhouse in Southern Delaware. I'm just saying I'm not sitting here appreciating my like huge mansion on the ocean, and that's not the reason for it. The reason for it is I love my life. I love what I have slowly and peacefully, with acceptance and with lots of pain, I love what I've created, both in my relationships and in my physical space and in my dreams for what's next and in my connections with people that I love. Like, I love it. And listen, this is not a dream or a fantasy. I've worked hard for it, but I love it. And he said, do you appreciate your life? And I said, I really do. Not only do I appreciate my life, I take time to appreciate my life. And he says, well, if you want your child to appreciate their life, just actively and passionately and out loud, appreciate yours. And I was like, damn, you are right. And that is not hard for me. The only reason that I maybe wasn't doing it as much is I like forget that it's important. And so I've just been gently doing it. And it's very important in the world of attraction, not promotion, which so many things fall into that category. Sobriety for me is definitely attraction, not promotion, which 12-step programs talk about a lot. You know, my sobriety is not your sobriety. My sobriety is mine. If you like it and you see what I'm doing and you want what I have, well, maybe that's a choice you'll make for yourself, but it's mine. And I get to live it out loud if I choose. And that's, you know, a way that people might be influenced by my peace and my joy. And this is the same exact thing. And so when you're able to live a life of attraction, not promotion, it's important not to overdo it because that's bullshit, right? You don't be bullshit. You don't walk into a room and be like, oh my goodness, my best life. It's just amazing. Like everyone's going to be like, give me a break. It's really just about being honest. It's really just about telling the truth. Like my favorite Mark Twain quote, tell the truth and then you don't have to remember anything. You don't have to plan anything. You don't have to gear up for the conversation you're going to have with your person. You're just going to be what you are. And listen, if there's a chance that you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, but that's not my truth. I'm confused. I'm unsure. I'm skeptical. I'm struggling. I'm resisting. Great. Then be you. Be right there. Transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. So if you don't want to be those things, and if it's making you uneasy, you got to allow yourself to be those things until you're not. So like, let's say I was a skeptic, right? I'm starting this process. I have a lot of high hopes, but like, I don't know, you know, I mean, it seems a little weird. It seems a little new. I'm trying the work. It doesn't seem to be changing my whole life after 5 minutes, which is what everybody wants. So I'm not making fun of you. It's what everybody wants. And so and you're feeling skeptical. So now you're out to dinner with the crowd, the group, the crew, and they're like, hey, Donna, what's up with you? I thought you're like doing all this work for yourself and it seems like you're still on the boiled chicken and rice. And you could say, yep, I'm really trying and I am open to whatever is happening with it. It's a struggle. It's scary. Owning your fear is so powerful and huge. It's scary. It's scary to believe that something like this could help me. It's scared to try one more thing since so many things, it's scary to try one more thing because so many things have failed. It's scary to think that something so simple as deeply feeling my feelings could change the way my body functions, my real solid physical body functions. It's weird. and it's scary. So that's where I am today, but I'll let you know. But today I'm still on boiled chicken and rice because I don't feel safe eating anything else. Like, yes, Donna, this is the way. We gotta be who we are until who we are shifts. And that's what we're doing here. And when, I'm not gonna say if, and when you start to see those pinpricks of light, you start to say one night, just screw it, I'm just having that cookie or whatever it is that you can't eat. And you wake up the next morning and you're like, damn, I slept right through the night. I feel fine. These are the pinpricks of light that I invite you, please, with my hands in prayer position. When your body starts changing, please believe it. Don't deny that gorgeous gift that your mind-body system and your beautiful self is presenting to you. Believe it. And that's the challenge. When we start to heal, the challenge is to believe we're healing because we are. Because we are. We're transforming. You are already well. You, whomever you are, my love, listening to me in your ears, in your car radio, on your phone as you're doing the dishes, whatever, whomever, on your exercise walk, on the treadmill, even if you're hating it, I hate the treadmill. You are already well. You're not broken. Nothing's actually wrong with you. You're just dysregulated. You just need to come back into equilibrium. This is what we are doing here. Go to my website and help yourself. TheCureForChronicPain.com. Lots and lots of free resources there as well. This podcast drops every week and has new stories of people overcoming and looking their fear and looking their habits and their groupthink in the face. And saying, I see you, I honor you, I love you, I know you've been trying to protect me. I thank you for the help you've given me thus far, but I don't need you anymore. I see what I need to do for myself, and I am willing to do it. And willingness opens every single door. Willingness opens the door that you thought was shut and locked tight. All you need is willingness. And here we are. All right, my loves. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you sticking it out with me. You know, here we are, living a human life. If you're enjoying this podcast, if you could just take a moment and go to iTunes and rate and review it, it's hugely helpful to me and helpful to people finding the podcast. I do appreciate it. And until next time, this has been the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs, and I will see you then. Bye-bye.